Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a fabric presentation from November 2015. Ms. Sophie Bramel, independent journalist, presents Athleisure Stretching the Limits.
We're going to be starting this conference on athleisure and how this new market category may be stretching the limits of activewear textiles. I have with me here four speakers, four representatives of fiber and filament and yarn producing companies. So we have people here who are working way at the earliest part of this market, and I think their point of view may be pretty interesting. Let's start out by introducing yourselves and maybe giving your definition of athleisure, because that's a new term. Everyone has their way of looking at it, and let's see what...
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me okay, by the way? Don't look worried. I'm not going to start singing. It's okay. So thank you for organizing, Sophie. I'm Simon Whitmarsh-Knight from Invista. Who is Invista? Invista are the people behind the Lycra and Coolmax and Thermalite ingredient brands. So I look after our activewear and outdoor customers here in Europe. I guess, do you want us to define also athleisure, how we see athleisure?
Yeah, or shall
we?
Quickly.
So very quickly, I think I saw a good quote from Polartec, who said that millennials now describe outdoors as anything that's not indoor. So I think that shows the breadth of the athleisure segment. You know, is it urban outdoors? Is it commuter wear? Is it athleisure? So we try to cater for all those segments and not stick too rigidly to one single definition.
Yeah, it's not only the post-yoga, pre-yoga or post-yoga market.
I thought it was very clever. It's anything that's not indoors, Okay. Basically. Yeah.
Okay, good point. Okay. Thank you. Carolina.
Hi, I'm Carolina from Nilstar. We are behind the Meril brand. We are based in Barcelona. We are experts in polyamide 6.6, but we are already working to go into the vertical process. So we are also developing fabrics and garments for different brands. We are focused into having the great touch in our products and also have the performance into our portfolio. We already worked with several important sports brands to try to improve all the performance into their final garments. Into athleisure.
Can you, explain it?
Into athleisure issue, we are working for almost 2 years into getting into that market. We see that athleisure is much more something that It's for your everyday activities, but it's based into a gym pattern. So at the end, it's like garments that inspired into really sports garments that you are using to go yoga, go running, but you wanted to wear it outside. So at the end, we are trying to get the trends into from fashion and take it into the sports patterns.
Okay, thank you. Alexander?
Hello, my name is Alexander Foyle. I'm the managing director of Hologenics in Europe. Hologenic produces the fiber Salient. It's a performant fiber that increases circulation and muscle tissue oxygenation. We're very happy about athleisure, although the word sounds a bit weird. I think to make it more popular, I think athleisure needs a new definition or a new word. We see it as a combination of comfort and function, which in the end... I see no reason why not every garment should have some function and be comfortable and be possible to be worn at all occasions.
Okay, interesting point.
My name is Jerome. I'm from Flockers. We use the natural fiber kapok, which has actually a few synthetic properties. And we allow, let's say, clients to tailor-make their eco-friendly materials by using kapok in our yarns, fabrics, and filling.
You also are the recipient of the Echo Award at
yes.
the show.
Highlight
material.
Athleisure. For us, at least, if you look at some of the news, is about bringing outdoor into the city. For us, it's probably more the leisure, where the city is used more to comfort, daily life, whether it's indoor, outdoor. But it would be nice to have a little bit of more sporty functions to it. And I think with what we are trying to do is give the outdoor brands a chance to use natural fiber kapok with some synthetic properties to create that natural touch with which the polyester or the synthetic fibers have always been trying to approach.
After this short introduction, I wanted to see how each of your different companies is working to identify and capture this market. What specific products or new developments target this crossover city, outdoor, sports market? What I've seen, maybe I'll start with Alexander. What I've seen at Celliant, it's often been, this is a high-performance fiber with very different properties. Which ones are most suited to athleisure, and are they, is there something specific that a company looking to develop athleisure products can gain from using Celliant?
It definitely can be combined with any other fabric or fiber or yarn, and the main wellness or comfort function that Celliant provides is, I guess, this slightly increased circulation, which is good for has all sorts of associated benefits. In the athletic market, it's obviously the increased tissue and muscle oxygenation, which slightly increases your performance and leaves you with a little less soreness afterwards. But the wellness aspect, we think, is very important for the increased circulation, and to combine that, like he said already, with other natural fibers. We're working very hard to get it into organic fiber. We can talk about that later, but at the moment it's a synthetic fiber, and we'd like to combine it with naturals to make it more. Yeah.
Jeroen, can you tell us more about the specific properties of kapok and how those properties are suitable for athleisure?
Sure. So kapok has quite a few properties besides it being a very clean fiber. It's a hollow fiber, which means it's insulating and can help in a thermoregulation of the fabric or insulation. It's hydrophobic in fiber, which means it helps to quick dry the yarn or the fabric. It's antimicrobial, antibacterial, and anti-allergenic, as well as this anti-mud and anti-mite, which are all natural properties.
There's no additives?
There's no additives
to make those properties come?
No, there's no additives.
Simon, how is, we talk mostly about Lycra, maybe not only. How is Lycra looking at this market, developing new product or new programs linked to athleisure?
Sure. I guess there may be two parts to the answer. I think everybody is surfing this big wave of athleisure or commuter wear or urban outdoors. I think the latest estimate is, it's a $35 billion market, I think, last year in the U.S. So it's a big slice of the market.
I think I've got some data.
That tallies with your data, I hope, Sophie, as well. I'm talking about the size of the market in the U.S. So I guess for us as a business, like many businesses, we start with trying to define a consumer need. What is missing? What could make something better? And then deciding, do we have some existing technology that we can apply to that consumer need, or do we need to find something new to fill that space? So, for example, when we did some research in the US around, black leggings, what makes the ultimate black leggings, one of the feedback from women was around this muffin top issue. So, can we take some existing product like a Lycra with special soft comfort benefits that could be used to help in that area.
So you're talking aesthetics also a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. Whichever is a need that we think we can profitably answer. Hmm. Sometimes the need needs some new technology. So, for example, a couple of weeks ago, we launched some new hybrid technology, which, as the denim market has also seen an impact of athleisure.
Yes.
So we have recently launched, it's a woven by knit product, so it's denim looking, but it's actually a knit product, which we feel is well suited to, of course, the athleisure market,
right,
too.
That's a real crossover product, I guess. So, yeah. Comfort of knit and the look of denim.
And the aesthetics, yeah.
So moving on to, this is actually, you know, in my mind, performance days, we're in this performance environment. We're used to selling function, specific attributes, easy care, or antimicrobial. Whereas the athleisure, as you know, I think it's more of a look, more aesthetics. So what kind of textures, what kind of fabrics, what looks, styles, and feels do you think this market needs to develop?
Moving forward to athleisure, we think that it's much more like all active concept we are moving on. So we already seen that garments and patterns are much more easy to wear right now, even if they are prêt-à-porter, not only athleisure. And we are trying to get all this performance and all these technologies we are worked into athleisure before to ordinary garments. So at the end, we want to have like a suit, a men's suit that we will talk later, with waterproof properties, and how can we add with our yarns and with our fabrics these kind of properties without having added components or finishings. And at the end, we are working on that on all active, but in athleisure, we already worked in textures. For example, we find a really important trend in neoprene and scuba trend into athleisure garments. I wore one of them, so maybe you can see. We have a trend analyst and some designers in-house. So they work into patterns that brands can use 2 years ahead. And for example, this is our scuba fabric. It has isolating properties and it's whole fiber, so at the end, it is much more lighter than, for example, a neoprene.
Oh, it's a hollow fiber.
Yeah,
okay.
Hollow fiber.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I'm sorry. I didn't have the word. Yeah, and it behaves also really well with printing and embossed, for example. So this is the solution we are giving right now, and we think that we can improve to different designers. We are working with emergent designers, for example, in London and USA. They're working really hard to get into athleisure's market. For example, This Is a Day, Olympia Activewear, and also other brands like Opening Ceremony, they're doing like soft sports categories. And that's what we are doing. We are working with them, trying to get this feedback, what they want to do for next collections, and see how our technologies can apply to the garments they are thinking on.
Yeah, it's keeping up with the fashion trends then.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the booth of Flocus earlier on, Jeroen, and there's an incredible array of different fabrics, knits, shirting, denims. So what does Kepok add to the comfort story and the feel
of
these fabrics?
I guess if we talk about texture, then Kepok is difficult for spinning because it's a short staple. So in any yarns, it will always have the short hairs coming out, which gives it then the natural touch. And then from the yarns we make, you can go into any blend with whether the fibers come from Celliant or from the companies here, and create, for example, indeed the polyester, more performance-based fabrics with a natural touch. And
because there's that softness that's due to the... the short fiber is a handicap for spinning, but it's an asset in the
for the
fabric
touch.
Texture, right?
So even though you have 15, 20% of Kapok, The short staple will always stick out and will have a big surface on your skin, not to the touching area. So you will always have a natural feel and a comfortable feel of the Kapok fiber.
Okay. Alexander, anything to add about texture and the fabrics or the fillings?
Since we don't produce any garments ourselves, but we definitely encourage our customers to produce garments and fabrics that can be worn in during sports and free time or city time. So we also developed some denim now, which is, I think, the way to go. Functional denim is definitely here to stay. And
I think denim has been... The denim market has been eaten in by athleisure, but it's fighting back, right? Right. we often consider, I mean, as up until now, we've often considered athleisure as a mostly women's wear market, that everyone talks about Lululemon and how they've opened up this new category. Do you feel it also works for menswear? And is there an equivalent product, Simon, to the black leggings for men that would be, you know, that popular product that you always have with you, which is what athleisure is in one wear?
That's an excellent question. I think many of us are thinking, what is the male equivalent of the black legging? And I wish I could give you all an answer. I'm sure we have lots of ideas, but I think for me that will be whoever defines that and finds that will be in a very strong position. You know, one idea we have is maybe the male equivalent could be a fitted, narrow leg, walking pant for men. To give you an example, a few months back, we were in a REI store, very nice store in USA, and we stopped a guy who worked there because he had these narrow pants with pockets and all sorts. We said, oh, fantastic, we love your trousers. We think this could be the male black leg. Where did you get them? And he went, oh, from the women's department. Because I can't find trousers that are narrow enough for me in men. So,
okay.
Like the team say, you know, we're not making garments. We're working with our mills to make the fabrics that eventually go into garments. But as a macro trend, we think maybe that could be something that's exciting for men. I guess in general, also another point for men is we're getting bigger. We're getting fatter. All of us.
Unfortunately.
Maybe not the audience or the panel here, but most of us in general are evolving and being bigger. So we see a big opportunity for stretch in men's trousers. You know, the penetration of stretch in men's compared to women's is very low.
That's true.
So I wear stretch trousers now, much more comfortable. When you bend over, you don't show things that you don't want to show. So in general, we see stretch in men's being very important.
Okay.
And then maybe this idea of narrow sort of walking pants.
Okay. It's a move towards that comfort factor that women have already adopted.
Absolutely,
And more form-fitting, or not necessarily?
Yes, more tailored, more narrow fit, I think. Okay. But not as form-fitting, perhaps, as obviously black legging, but moving that direction.
Okay. Do you have anything to add on this masculine? What would be the men's equivalent of, you know, anyone have something to add on that?
Maybe it's more about the compositions in terms of, rather than the design of the fabric, where men's are more into keeping maybe the similar type of fabrics, but change the composition to something what is nicer. They will definitely choose for the nicer touch and feel of the fabric. And I guess there is a chance for at least you to maybe go into the men's area.
Yeah. Hmm. Anything that gets rid of the dreaded jogging pants, which are very popular among German men, then.
Yeah,
Simon made some good suggestions.
Okay. There is another, athleisure is obviously an American concept, and they like to encapsulate these new markets with catchy words, and it's a positive thing, because then it does encapsulate something, and you can react, and any reactions from the audience will be warmly appreciated. One of the conversations I had earlier this year at a trade fair was on this being an American concept, very big in the US, the numbers are there. I'm always wondering how the European women and men will adopt this market category. And the person I spoke with was Rhea Stern, who's a marketing director for Hyosung, a Korean fiber producer. She said something I found very interesting. She said that in the United States, athleisure implies dressing up. Americans love to dress down, but here they're dressing up to go to the gym. And she believed that in Europe, athleisure would be more about dressing down, because we usually maybe are a little bit more attentive to what we wear. And so athleisure in Europe would be something more casual and relaxed. So my question is, how do you see this concept evolving on the European market? Are we dressing up or dressing down? And how does that impact product development?
We are totally dressing down. I totally agree with your colleague. And at the end, we are seeing that in Europe, we are using more and more athleisure styles or more comfortable styles, but are in informal environments.
Yeah, for weekends.
We are not, in weekends and going with friends after works, but we are not feeling really comfortable to go right now into a work environment, dressing with some leggings or as they are doing right now in the USA. So we are seeing that we have to improve the garments and the fabrics we are proposing to Prêt-à-Porter into more comfortable and with better touch fabrics. So we can more and more use more comfortable garments and with more relaxed patterns into our work environment every day. The thing is that we can use a jacket right now from the morning till night. That's the point here in Europe right now. Yeah. And we have all the properties inside the jacket, so we can use it everywhere. Mm. We don't have to dress down or dress up. And I think that in athleisure, brands as Adidas or Lululemon will be also successful here, as they are getting, for example, Adidas Original, you've seen with Rita Ora, with Pharrell Williams. They are doing a really great job with natural fibers, as mixing polyamide and polyester with natural fibers to get a really premium garment, but into a relaxed way. So I think that if something is going to be successful right now, it's that kind of brands that are getting their sports items into a fashion kit.
Alexander, do you see a difference in the athleisure clients that the American branch of your company has compared to the European?
No, but I also agree with what you quoted, that definitely in Europe, I think people are more stylish in their everyday how they dress. So for them to wear a comfort function garment would definitely be a little bit dressing down rather than the American who would be dressing up for that. But I see great potential for this in Europe, and you can see from the sneakers, for example, that they produce already, that those have been totally integrated into daily wear, which wasn't the case like 10 years ago. And this will happen with other garments too, I think, jeans.
Okay. Tarun, any comments on the European facet? You're just starting, so.
I can still share my opinion. Now, I think what is more or less said is in Europe, it's dressing down and probably more for a weekend or at home market, so that will be different, let's say a different clothing area to focus up on. So it will find its way, but it will take more time.
And Simon, as a global brand, are you tweaking the message differently for European and American clients, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily from a product perspective, but of course sometimes the message is and the story is slightly different.
Okay.
But I agree with the panel, with Rita also, with Ria, that I think in Europe we tend to dress down, and maybe that is also linked to our perhaps more relaxed approach to what we wear at work, you know, in general with dress down Friday or something. So I think in Europe, often difficult to generalize, but maybe we are a little bit more relaxed about what we wear at work, but
relaxed,
also
but
relaxed in our approach to what we're, but also we see this working the other way as well. When we talk of athleisure, we tend to think of ready to wear brands moving into some active use, but also we're seeing active use in a ready-to-wear environment. So in, for example, in office shirts, in woven shirts, we're seeing lots of Coolmax for cooling. So still in a formal type woven shirt, but I think as people's expectations continue to go up, they want more things from their clothing. So even in a more formal use, we see some performance that was normally associated with active wear.
Right. But it'll look urban and formal, or have that city look.
It could be, but there's still an element of sort of tailoring or traditional look, I guess.
Right. Okay. We're hoping, I guess, that that the functions that are being developed for activewear make it into everyday wear, obviously, with regards to comfort and easy care and wicking and thermal regulation and all that. I was wondering whether the audience had any reactions to this dressing up, dressing down, and how you see athleisure evolving in Europe or elsewhere. I was wondering, I had another question, whether this athleisure category, there's one product that's, you know, this soft shell. Everyone knows what a soft shell is. And I personally, it's a great fabric, but I think it missed its mark in a certain sense. Consumers, if they, you know, in a store you have two jackets, one's a hard shell, one's a soft shell. They both cost pretty much the same, but one you get the waterproofness that you don't have in the soft shell. So people tend to buy what performs better. Whereas, you know, the soft shell has a specific set of properties that are maybe not that easy to sell. Is athleisure possibly a way for the soft shell to finally find its market and get, you know, get its message across to consumers?
Yeah, we're totally working into a soft shell collection for après-ski, for example. We have seen that in après-ski could be really interesting because at the end there's people go to ski with really proper garments. Hmm. But if you want to go outside
specific
after the day,
same.
Yeah, you don't need these specific garments, but you don't want anyway a jeans or a merino. So at the end, if you play well with soft shell, I think that will be really interesting. We're working into digital printing them and mixing, embossing them, and see how it works. And also have the greatest touch. We are working with some fabrics that, for example, has a cotton touch or moisture management inside. So you have like a really good first skin touch. And then we have the soft shell that gives you an mountain atmosphere. You can wear it in après-ski. So we are really seeing a good opportunity in après-ski for soft shells.
Anyone else want to comment? Do Eric, can I ask you to... let me go get a speaker here. Mr. Polartec, Europe. You know a lot about soft shells. How do you think athleisure may help the soft shell find its market or blossom or I don't know what?
Well, yeah, it's soft shell is an interesting animal. I would say that Polartec addresses that market probably more at the top of the pyramid, and we've seen a lot of entry level kind of products on that market. Mm. It's really lost its momentum and its attraction power. I think there's a lot of potential applications. And
are you working specifically to, I mean, in athleisure, would you be pushing it or not?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, whether, for base layer fabrics, insulation, and also weather protection, we have options that try to reconcile, fashion and function, look good, feel good.
Right.
And and with the Polartec performance that we try to always apply to any fabric we do. So that's all really true to soft shells, and we've been trying to add some new looks, new faces, and also softer touches, which I think really answer that question. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions from the audience here?
Hi there. So this was about this point on athleisure in Europe, or that sort of European expectation of dress, or European dress sense meets athleisure, and what's happening there. I think there's an unanswered question which I'd be interested to hear the panel's thoughts on, which is on price point, right? And I think as long as something is athleisure or distinguishably sportswear, people, men and women, are prepared to pay for it, pay for the function. But as soon as you kind of lose that distinctive visibility of function. Hmm. I wonder if, for me, there's an unanswered question of whether people are going to pay for it. And the great example of that, in my view, I don't know if Rafa is here, but is Rafa's biked boardroom blazer for men, which I think is, awesome. A lot of my male colleagues at work loved it. But it didn't seem that many people were prepared to pay £400 in Britain for that. And I think, it started that sort of question mark.
Okay. Who would like
Love your thoughts.
Thank you. Who would like to react among our panelists?
So I guess your question was around, are people prepared to pay for extra performance?
Even if they don't see it, right?
But not in a performance environment. Is that the...
It doesn't look sporty, but it's got those sports functions.
I see, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, can you answer that?
On the brand,
That's
yeah.
I think that yeah. That's a very good question. You know, how do you communicate the value in maybe in a garment that isn't traditionally associated with performance? I guess we're a little bit separate from that discussion because we're up the value chain. And it really, I guess, comes down to brand and brand story and communication. You mentioned Rafa, you know, I've started to cycle now because I can't play rugby anymore. Rafa is a great brand, beautiful story. And I guess you're paying, you know, for part of the Rafa brand, you know, that's the thing you're paying for there, as well as the technology and the beautiful quality. The Rafa brand is also really leveraging that extra value.
But if Rafa can do it, who else can do it then? If you can't do it, who can? Well, you could say, you know, Arc'teryx, but I guess, yeah, the crossing over is that's the complicated thing.
Maybe with Flockers, these things change because the background of our fiber is a natural fiber with some sport functions. And that is really a natural story, a clean story, not one of recycling polyester. It's really a natural fiber. And maybe with that new story in some materials, in mixes with other components, that might spark, hey, it's something really natural with a good performance. And that might still give an edge on a higher pricing market for people to go for it.
In an article I recently wrote for World Sports Activewear, which is my main magazine, I'd say that, you know, the natural synthetic, athleisure is a lot about synthetic performance but natural look. So some wool, some kapok, maybe, you know, some cotton. But I don't really know where you place the cursor on how much you're going for performance and how much you're going to, you know, compromise performance to have looks or what. And this is, I think, where everything is complicated. It's also a matter of where you're coming from. The fashion brands may have a head start on this because women go shopping at Zara and Mango and H&M and there's a legging. Ah, looks cool. I'll take it. You have to bring them into the sports stores, and then they have to start looking for product, and, you know, it's maybe not quite the same atmosphere. I mean, there's this is why I think it's more of an uphill battle for the sports arena. You know, they have all the fashion biggies are coming down on us, and they have consumer insight, they have a lot of, you know, whatever, marketing money, et cetera, and they're on the high street all over the place. So I think the sports industry has to really think through and maybe rethink what performance, what does it look like, you know, what message am I getting across? Is it clear? Will the consumer understand it? Which is what, you know, I think this soft shell, which is just a beautiful product, and as, you know, you mentioned earlier, June, you know, maybe athleisure is the everyday wear of tomorrow. When I saw the first soft shell, I thought, well, hey, finally we get a fabric that's a fabric. It's not something hard. It's not something, you know, this is something you want to wear. But then it was such a hard sell that, you know, obviously it's the market. I'm not saying every soft shell never made it to market, but still, I don't think it reached the potential that it should have had. You know, there's something about the message there this is really a challenge for our industry. Any more questions, comments? All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for attending. Thanks for your questions. Thank you for being here and presenting your point of view on this new market. We may probably have many more sessions of the same type.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.